Live Music.
Living the lost decade with the last decade. 20 years of alternative classics. Selling 105.
Dr. Drew over there, phone number 1-800-LOVE-191, fax number 310-854-4455. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, and tonight we're tickled pink to have Billy D. Williams as our guest. have seen much of his work over the years. I first time I cried from watching something was Brian Song, 1970 or 71, something like that, when it was on TV. I remember sitting next to my dad trying to hold the tears back, trying to act like a man. Couldn't help it. I lost it.
At the age of 8, trying to act like a man?
I was probably so. I was born in 64, and Brian's song is 70, right?
71.
Was it on TV in 71?
71. 70, yeah, 71.
Yeah, because your dad was going, Adam, you got to be like a man.
Oh, my dad?
Yeah.
No. My dad put me in a dress and told me to lick a giant lollipop. Are you kidding? My parents didn't care what I did. That's why I humiliated them by making a lot of money and going heterosexual. But I loved it. That was the first time. I didn't even know. I thought Billy Dee Williams was Gale Sayers. And when you gave that speech about loving Brian Piccolo and crying in the locker room, it just nailed me. It just floored me. And I can't watch it to this day without breaking up. If I hear the theme song, I'll fall apart. You don't have that on you, do you?
No.
Okay, tonight. Good. Okay, good.
If you called me last night,
you would have brought it in.
Would have brought it in, yeah.
That movie seemed too good for a TV movie. Was it supposed to? Did it go to theatrical release?
No, originally it was supposed to be a theatrical release. That was the whole idea. But
right,
they decided to do it on television. Then they decided to release it theatrically. But by that time, everybody just about had seen it, I think.
Right.
I think it was much better. I always felt it was really much better for television.
Why?
Because everybody needed to see it.
Particularly at that time, you know, movies were moving into a whole different, I mean, a lot of technology was starting to come in, a lot of special effects.
Right.
You know, a lot of violence, a lot of more graphic things were starting to happen at that time. And I think, you know, Brian's song was just the kind of thing that works better. It seems to me it works better for television.
Well, it worked on me. And Billy Dee, by the way, is in The Ladies Man, which I didn't even know about until last night when Tim Meadows informed us that he was coming in here for sort of a 1-2 punch. Tim Meadows was in here last night, and Drew was looking through the bio and couldn't find your role.
No, I found the role. I couldn't find a description of the role in the plot.
Oh,
what I meant.
Doing?
Yes, you're in. We know you're in the movie. We want to know what you're doing.
I know what the character is. I just don't know what the purpose of the character is.
Well, what I do actually is I'm like a mentor. I kind of describe this ridiculous person to everybody.
And as sort of, I mean, is it?
It's kind of a sober voice in the movie. I mean, it's really more like a cameo kind of thing, I guess, if you really want to look at it that way, if you're looking at it from that perspective. But I mean, other than that, I mean, it's just a, you know, I just really.
You're playing a television actor. That's what the thing said.
Is that what it said?
Hey, like somebody, maybe I misread it.
No, you couldn't have read it. You couldn't have read that.
All right. Drew, you want to talk? I was going to say, in a way, were you sort of playing yourself in the sense? I mean, you've always been known as a heartthrob.
Yeah, well, you know, when a memo came down and they said, let's go get a Billy Dee Williams type, okay?
So, right. Might as well just get Billy Dee.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I went out on that call, too, by the way, with the Billy Dee Williams stuff. Brian Song, Mahogany, Lady Sings the Blues, Star Wars, the list goes on and on, and now The Ladies Man. All right, Drew, did you find it?
As for Billy Dee Williams, any resemblance between the suave, debonair film and television star and the character of Lester is purely intentional.
I see.
And I read that into meaning that they made him into that kind of character in the show.
Right. The movie comes out this Friday, if you didn't listen to last night when I mentioned it 350 times. And as it turns out, Billy Dee Williams is a fan of the man show. So the like that I had for him quickly turned to love when he mentioned that. So God bless you for being so discerning.
It's a very funny show.
Well, there's a man who's been in the business for how many years you've been in the business then?
Oh, God.
Plenty long.
Yeah.
And you've seen him come, you've seen him go, and you love the man show. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Thank you. Evan?
Remember, this man's an actor.
Actor.
Evan? Even when it goes, we all love it.
You're 14.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, Manny, if you rock.
Thank you.
And Dr. Drew, you're very cool. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Evan.
And, all right, my question is, one of my friends, my very good friend, who I've known for 3 years now, she's 14 and she's now pregnant. And she called me today and I spoke to her for about 3 hours on the phone, telling her and trying, and she kept saying that she wants to have the baby and that she knows she can handle it, and her boyfriend, who's 20.
Nice.
Yeah.
We should just call that the Loveline couple.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, that sort of defines every Loveline couple.
14, 20, and yeah. She's pregnant.
That's
and,
good.
And what are you going to do?
All right. Well, I was talking to her a lot this afternoon, telling her that, you know, this is really illegal. Once they find out about this relationship, he can get in big trouble for this.
Do you like her?
She's okay.
Yeah, you like her, right?
I don't know.
You talked to her for 3 hours on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you know what's funny? Remember when you used to talk to women for 3 hours on the phone? Now, Drew, I've been around Drew when his wife calls. Okay. He's wrapping it up before he says hello. All right, then. Good enough. Well, I'll see you. Fine. See you then.
That's just because it's between breaks. During a break here, 2 minutes into the break.
How dare you?
Left.
Oh, I've seen it on limo rides where we're in there for an hour and a half.
No,
the point
no,
is,
no, talk for half an hour. You and lose, half hour wrap up.
As a man, you lose your ability to talk on the phone with women for 3 hours at a certain point in life. And I don't know when it is, but Evan, you still have that ability. And you must like her.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
No, you like her.
You like life.
Yeah, you like her like a girlfriend, right?
No.
Come on.
No, seriously.
Why would you talk to her for 3 hours?
Because I'm really concerned about her.
All right. Listen.
Okay.
I know it's a stretch for you, Adam, to understand that one human being might have care for another.
They're good friends.
Okay.
They're good buddies.
All right. How about getting her to some services where she can get some professional counseling, Planned Parenthood, family services, and anywhere that she can get an adult to talk to who can actually discuss with her and provide for her the options that are at her disposal, including adoption.
Yeah, I talked to her about adoption. She said she wants to keep
it. And look.
What about the parents? Like, where are the parents?
Her parents.
Her parents, yeah.
She hasn't told her parents yet, and she's a month and a half into it.
Well, a 14-year-old don't think usually as logically and abstractly, Evan, as you have the capacity to do. She's not thinking right. She's with a 20-year-old. God knows what she conceptualizes this relationship really to be. It's a mess. You need to get her to someone, an adult, who can help her through this, okay? That's the good friend you can be.
All right,
Evan. Just get her over to Planned Parenthood and let her sit down with a counselor and get, you know, make a decision.
Yeah, she's seeing someone right now. I forgot what it's called.
There you go. All right. Good.
All right.
All right.
Other, just be available otherwise.
All right. Let's talk to Megan. Megan.
Hi, Adam. Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Megan.
I'm in a dorm right now, and we're in, like, a suite situation, and one of our suite mates is bulimic, and it's really obvious. She leaves a little chunk floating in the toilet.
Nice.
She wakes up at 5 to go running, and she runs for, like, 2 hours. We hear her bang the doors every morning, and we talked to her roommate about it, and she said that she acts really paranoid whenever a roommate, like, brings up dinner and, like, stuff like that.
Mm. You hear her bang the doors? You mean, like, when she gets up in the morning?
Yeah. It's really loud. I'm one of those light sleepers.
I see. All right.
But, I'm not close enough to be like, you know, hey, look what's going on, but...
How many people in the suite?
5, and none of us are close.
She leaves little chunks in the toilet?
Well, she flushes it, but then
that's
she
pretty close,
it
isn't it? And that's what brings you together in some way.
Hold on a second, man. We were talking about inventions I had. People want to know some of my brilliant inventions, like the beer can with the pull tab on both sides so you can shotgun it and get drunk faster.
The vomit base.
Shut up, Drew. The seatbelt sash, Miss Congeniality and all that kind of stuff. Here is the one I've talked about and I forgot about, which is the toilet flush timer. I'm going to get to this in a second. Ever happen where you're on the toilet, Billy, and you're going number 2, and the phone rings, and you're on the phone, right? So now you're on the pot, and you're talking on the phone.
Why are you including me in this?
Let me tell you, part of being a good host is including the guests.
Just as a human being, Billy. That's the whole
into the
again.
Scenarios.
Oh, okay.
That's good radio.
He is a world-class.
Listen, I don't tell you how to act.
You're a very classy guy.
You're on the toilet, and you're talking on the phone, right? And you're doing number 2. And you don't want to flush the toilet while you're on the phone. right?
No.
Because you don't want the person who's on the other side to be alerted that you're on the toilet.
Finish, set a timer, and walk away.
So what you do is you get up and you walk away,
yeah.
And then you forget about it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the maid or somebody shows up, girlfriend shows up the next morning or in another hour, and you're in another part of the house, and they got to walk in and find that mess.
You hear a scream.
Now, if you have the toilet timer,
yep.
You set it for about 10 seconds, you walk away. Flush your toilet. Shut the door behind you.
And do you think there should be some sort of vomit bib also?
Yeah, that goes around so it doesn't doesn't get outside of the bowl.
Right. It never stays, does it?
I'll look into that. Megan?
Well, leave a note, Megan.
She should do a double flush, please.
I know. That's why I think it's like a sign that she, like,
well,
wants to get help.
Maybe this will, you're right. And maybe this will bring you all together a little bit. And you understand that bulimia, to the extent that you're describing her manifestations, has about a 1 out of 5 probability of killing her.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And it really is a serious issue, and I think you should approach it that way. And where are you at school right now?
I'm at Western in Bellingham, Washington.
Is there a student health services there?
Yeah, there is, but I didn't, like, when I go there, I mean, I don't want to be, like, behind her back, but then I don't really know if I should confront her.
You need to get her to those services. It's a very serious issue.
Okay.
And it's a chronic condition. It requires treatment. I suspect she's probably already had some kind of treatment.
Western in Washington?
Uh-huh.
It's Western. Washington State?
It is?
Mm-hmm.
I guess that is Western. Yeah.
Can you go any further west than that?
Well, I was thinking that's more north, actually.
Pacific Northwest.
All right. Well, north is before west, isn't it, smartass? Hey, Megan?
Yeah?
I've never heard of that school. Makes no sense to me. Now, listen. Are you a little bit chunky?
No.
Okay. Just curious.
Jeez.
Just playing a hunch.
Serious issue, Megan. Treat it accordingly. Maybe one of the other roommates and you sit down with her and really have a serious talk about getting her some help, all right?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, Megan.
Bye.
Take care of yourself. Oh, I never went to college, but I could only imagine getting in one of those bad suites with some bulimic and some sex fiend and some lesbian. Wait a minute. It's not sounding too bad, really. I mean, you're thrown in with a bunch of strangers. You're living on top of each other. It just sounds like a disaster. Susan?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. If I went to college, I'd live on a houseboat. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, a couple weeks ago, one of my girlfriends and I went out with some of our guy friends, and they did talk us into going to a strip club. Well, we went, and we were both kind of aroused by it, so about a week later, we decided we'd go back to another one.
You and this girlfriend?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. We're just friends, like friends.
Right.
I'm married, actually.
Right.
And we were kind of aroused by it when we went back the second time, and I just, is that normal?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. What'd you do? You just went back alone with that female friend of yours?
Yes.
And did you get a lap dance?
Yes, actually, we did.
You did? And how was that?
It was nice.
Yeah, did they charge same price, $20?
Actually, we got a 2-for-1 deal.
Yeah, I figured they'd do that. Yeah, and so what are you scared of?
I'm not really scared of anything. I was just kind of curious if that was normal or not.
It doesn't in and of itself mean anything. It's fine.
Well, you think you like ladies now?
I might be kind of interested.
Uh-oh. You got any kids?
No.
Hmm.
And how are you doing with your husband?
We're doing really great.
Really?
Mm.
What's he do for a living?
He works in a factory.
Oh.
You're doing really great. And yet you're kind of interested in straying?
Well, that's not straying. She was just a little titillated.
Yeah, no, but she said she's kind of contemplating, you know.
Yeah, but she doesn't look at that as cheating. Would you look at it as being with a woman as cheating?
I don't think so.
Oh, boy.
Nope. And what's your husband do at the factory?
I'm really not sure.
That's what I love about chicks. They don't care what their guy does.
Oh, man.
What? You don't know what he does?
Let me tell you something. Being with a woman would not be cheating.
Let me tell you something. I asked my mom how much my stepdad made a couple of months ago. She had no idea. And I said, okay, now hold on. And this is why my mom hates me. I said, okay, you don't know exactly down to the penny, but does he make 40 grand a year or does he make 80 grand a year? Don't know. I wouldn't accept that, by the way. And then a big argument broke out. Because, you know, I end up calling her an idiot. And that's where the big argument comes in. She doesn't know what her husband does, and she's sort of thinking about the ladies.
Susan?
Yes.
Yeah. This doesn't sound great. How long have you been married?
Just a couple months.
Yeah?
Months?
You're already thinking about, you know, experimenting a little?
Well, I'd I've actually been thinking about it for a while.
I see. Is your
I'd even talked to him about bringing another woman in.
Okay, here we go.
We're getting to it.
History here.
All right, what's up with you?
Were you sexually abused when you were younger?
No.
Huh?
Were you physically abused?
No.
Really?
You know what that means when I'm asking you that?
Yeah.
Alcoholic dad?
Nope.
Gotta be something.
Something.
Come on.
Doesn't make sense.
What's up? When did you lose your virginity?
When I was about 15.
About 15? And that means 14.
Yeah. Any rapes?
No.
Huh?
Nope.
No rapes?
Nope.
I don't believe you.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't fit. Either that, it's something,
no, no,
wrong.
It's not that it doesn't fit. It's just you're not answering it right.
Yeah.
Susan, seriously.
Okay.
Tell us the truth.
No, I really haven't. I'm just actually, I guess, kind of curious more about females.
Okay. No rapes. Lost virginity at 14. How old's the guy?
22.
Ah,
yeah.
Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, so the guy's 22. You're 14 years old.
That's a rape, by the way. That's child abuse. Okay. Susan.
Yes.
Okay. Now, so we got to figure out what set you up for that. Right?
What do you think of your dad?
My dad and I aren't close.
What's up with that?
What happened with him?
He just never had a lot to do with me since I was little.
All right.
Why?
I'm not sure.
All right.
But was he out of the house?
Yeah.
Oh, did you know him at all?
Yeah.
What kind of guy was he?
He was all right.
And he didn't drink?
No.
And the stepdad? Were the stepdads?
Uh-huh.
Yes?
No.
No stepdad.
And he didn't drink?
No.
Your dad. What did he do? Did he drive a truck or something?
No, he's a preacher.
Ooh, that's trouble.
That's interesting.
So where was he all the time? He's out thumping the Bible?
Well, my mom and him divorced when I was young. And
why?
I'm not sure. Okay.
All right, here, Susan, I'm going to take a stab at something. You've had a lot of training in improvisational comedy?
No.
Because I'm just trying to milk a rock talking to you about anything. You're very defensive. Something's up. You got some energy.
It's not your sexual orientation we're reacting to, Susan. It's the chaos you're bringing into your relationships, the fact that you were sexually abused when you were 14. Dad was never in your life, but you can't tell us anything about that or how you felt about that. There's a lot of missing information here, or feelings about how you feel about men, who you believe yourself to be in relation to men, and all this interest in women 1 month into a marriage.
3 months.
How many months into the marriage?
2 months.
2 months into the marriage.
All right.
Suggests that you can't handle intimacy and you can't handle stable relationships and you're going to bring some chaos in.
Yeah. You do what Drew did. You wait till month 8 before you start bringing third parties into the marriage. You understand?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Susan?
Yes, sir.
Listen.
Think this through.
You're going off course here. You understand?
Okay.
All right. So be a little more honest with yourself before you pursue all this stuff.
Okay.
All right. And don't have any kids.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, there was something.
I mean, just go to strip partner around. It's like, no big deal. Then all of a sudden, you.
And listen, ladies. Smoke. You saying you lost your virginity and putting about before your age? Are you kidding me? You think I just fell off the turnip truck? You women, every woman knows. My grandma is 84. She'll tell me the day, the month, the hour, and the exact age she lost her virginity. I won't bring it up. She'll just bring it up to me, as she's done that time and time again. Paul?
Yeah, hi.
What's up? You're 24. You're on with Billy D. Williams, and he's going to be in The Ladies' Man coming out this Friday.
Right. I had a question. About 2 years ago, I got sent.
Hold on, sorry, I got to apologize. But our callers cannot even, they can't even muster an ounce of fake enthusiasm.
or of acknowledgement, even.
You don't acknowledge.
Thank you. How are you, Billy? Hi, how are you?
You're lucky he didn't go. We have a lot of this. I want to say hi to Drew. I want to say hi to Adam and their guests. I've never heard of him. And if I have heard of him, I don't like his work. So here's my question. Yeah, at least you didn't get a negative. You just got a grunt. That's pretty good. Hey, Paul.
Okay.
Yeah, Ladies' Man, coming out this Friday.
I'll go check it out.
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
You're going
on. About 2 years ago, I got sentenced to prison, and my girlfriend at the time decided we should get married. So great. I figured, why not? Because I'm going to prison. I get conjugal visits.
Sure.
Well, I didn't really want to get married.
No, I mean, not with that future. You're going places. You don't need that ball and chain holding you back.
I was. So,
sure, you got a fast track to success.
And I didn't want, you know, I didn't want to be married, but, you know, she's been with me through all this.
Right.
And I get out a few days ago, and I'm looking for a friend's phone number through her phone book, and I find the number for 1-888, not too late. Now, she stopped taking the pill when I went to prison because she wanted to get pregnant.
With you.
Correct.
Right.
And I don't know why she would have that number, and listening to your show the whole time I'm in prison, I know it's for abortions or to stop a pregnancy.
It's to stop a pregnancy.
Right.
It's, not for abortions.
That's interesting.
And I asked her about it, and she had no reason. She got mad. She started throwing things at me.
Wow.
Saying, I've been by your side for 2 years, and you question me.
Uh-huh.
You
asked her about it, or you got drunk and threw an ashtray at her, called her bitch, and then asked her about it.
No, I wouldn't do that.
You just asked her about it.
Yeah.
You bitch! All right,
now. You cheated on me.
Okay, so you're thinking she may have cheated?
I'm sure she did. Why would she have that number?
But already you are attacking her for having cheated?
Yeah.
All right, well, this is interesting, because you know she wanted to get pregnant with your child.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Now, how often do you get conjugal visits in prison?
You get them about every 30 days.
Really? What do? You go to a trailer, or they drive you to Four Seasons?
No, they have little apartments on the grounds.
Nice.
They take you out there for 3 days and leave you there.
What kind of shape is that carpet in?
Oh, it's nasty.
Jesus Christ. And you can get married in prison and get conjugal visits, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't have to get married before you went in.
No.
I see. And what happens? I will get to the question in a second, but I'm very interested in the concept of the conjugal visit because, as you know, I never get done being outraged at the fact that certain notable criminals have actually sired kids while Ted Bundy had a daughter while he was in prison.
I don't want to have kids. She's 32. I'm 24.
Paul, you're missing the part.
Yeah, you're no Ted Bundy. But listen, what I'm saying is imagine that. Imagine you're one of the victim's parents of Ted Bundy, and he has a couple of kids while he's in the clink after killing your daughter and raping your daughter. How would you feel about that? And I think Tex Watkins, the Manson family member, has like 3 kids that he sired since he's been in prison. Listen, we got to lock these guys up or not. It drives me insane. So you had your conjugal visits, and did you use protection? Did you try to get her pregnant?
I didn't want to get her pregnant, but she didn't want me using protection.
Okay, so what'd you do? Just have a good long talk with your sperm before you went into the apartment?
She didn't get pregnant.
No, she didn't get pregnant. All
right. So,
and were you pulling out?
No.
No,
I know.
He wasn't doing anything.
I know his argument of I didn't want to get her pregnant is a horrible argument because he's having intercourse
right,
with her.
Right? Right.
And I wonder, are you allowed to time a conjugal visit for when you're ovulating?
No.
Billy, what do you think?
I have no idea.
You don't know about
outside
that?
Outside of a range of expertise here.
Oh, my God. I would do away with that in a second if I was a warden. All right, so Paul, now you think she's cheating.
Because she had that number.
Right, but okay, and she didn't give you a good reason, like it was for one of her friends, or she was listening to Loveline and just thought she'd put it in the book or whatever.
She couldn't come up with any reason.
Mm.
Okay, and you gave her a chance to come up with a reason.
Correct.
So you think she was seeing another guy, and she would call that number in case the other guy got her pregnant?
I think that.
How would she know who got her pregnant, though?
No.
What?
What she's saying, if she has a slip, sheets, condom breaks or something, she's got that.
Uh-huh. So you think she's using protection with the other guy.
Or if she had sex unprotected, she would go ahead and call that number to protect her in that encounter.
All right. Well, Paul,
mm-hmm.
maybe this thing wasn't made in heaven. Or, you know, you don't have any
kids. I don't know.
Which is a good thing. And okay, what if she did have a little indiscretion? You were behind bars after all.
She's still
committed
to you, yeah.
What about it?
Well, that's the thing. I don't want to be with her, but I don't have the heart to leave her because she's stuck by my side.
Right.
That.
What were you in for?
Too many possessions.
Of drugs?
Yes.
Have you cheated on her? Of course. Of course you have.
Before we were married.
Yeah, you're an addict.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cheat. Addicts cheat.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
All right. I should have become an addict. Hey, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
All right, listen. You're not doing her any good if you're staying with her just for sympathy. Okay?
And after all, you'd been cheating. And
he doesn't want to be with her, though. He wasn't really that into her. He didn't want to get married. He just got married because he was going into prison. She's obviously a desperate person if she's wanting to hurry up and marry a guy who's before he gets carted off to jail. And these whole conjugal visit things, I'm telling you, the idea that women are being bussed into prisons attempting to get pregnant from convicts is not a sound policy. There's something wrong with that. I would give them a shot of Norplant before they were able to enter that apartment for their conjugal visit. That would be my plan. Billy, are you behind me on this one? That's a yes. He knows I'm right. Billy D. Williams is our guest tonight. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to Joanne. His 30 brother-in-law smokes pot around his 9-month-old. That's fantastic. After this. This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Hello? Is anybody listening? Okay, for decades, tobacco companies have illegally targeted underage smokers. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs.
Yo, check it out. This is a memo from Brown and Williams and the makers of Cool Cigarettes. Quote, it's a well-known fact that teenagers like sweet products. Honey might be considered. End quote.
Memo from the makers of Newport. Quote, the face of our business is the high school student. End quote.
Memo from Philip Morris, makers of Marlboro. Quote, today's teenager is tomorrow's potential regular customer. End quote.
The sales report from Philip Morris, and I quote, sales outstanding, outstanding, outstanding. This account is located 2 blocks from high school. End quote.
If you want to hear more quotes from tobacco companies that prove they've targeted teens, go to tmvoice.com.
The TM stands for Target Market.
That's us.
That's enough, guys. I gotta go.
Do you feel like your career has gone offline? Well, get back online and on track for success through one of the high-tech programs at the Minnesota School of Business. Call 651-229-3600 and log on to a program in software development, network support, network systems engineer, or harness the power of the World Wide Web through our e-commerce program. And now you can even take some courses online. Minnesota is a leader in technology, and the demand for trained professionals in these fields is reaching all-time highs. Let the Minnesota School of Business be your gateway to success. Give us a call at 651-229-3600 or check out our website at www.msbcollege.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Call 651-229-3600. 651-229-3600. The Minnesota School of Business. A world of opportunity awaits you.
Until now, if you thought you might be pregnant, you'd have to do the wait and see pregnancy test. You know, wait till you're late, then see if you're pregnant. Now you can find out before you're late with the First Response Early Results Pregnancy Test. Based on product instructions, it can be used 4 days earlier than any other at-home test.
Use as directed. See your doctor as recommended.
No more wait and see.
Find out first with First Response.
Telephone from Geico Auto Insurance.
When calling Geico to switch your car insurance, you will not need acetaminophen, naproxen, indomethacin, ibuprofen, a cold compress, an on-call acupuncturist, or any other pain remedy. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more. If it were any more painless, you could do it in your sleep, which is theoretically possible since we offer complete 24-hour service. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico Direct, the sensible alternative.
It started in Wyoming, or so the story goes. Just a man making tacos. Not everybody knows.
There's a whole lot of Mexican going on. Taco John, Taco John.
Having a hard time deciding which meat and potato burrito you want? Is this a chicken and potato burrito or is it a beef and potato burrito? Both are delicious and both are filled with crispy golden potato ole. So, here's an idea. Get a friend, go to Taco John's and order both meat and potato burritos. Then cut them in half and share. That way you'll both be able to enjoy both meaty ways to get your ole with Taco John's meat and potato burritos. Unless, of course, you don't have any friends.
It's going on to Taco John's.
meaty ways to get your Olay's. The meat and potato burrito, chicken or beef. Now at all participating Twin Cities area Taco Johns.
When my grandfather first established the quality standards for the diamonds we would carry at the Shane Company, he had only one product in mind, engagement rings. I know that an engagement ring is worn every day of a woman's life. Of everything she owns, nothing else will ever have as much sentimental, emotional attachment as her engagement ring. I'm Tom Shane, and I've personally trained our diamond buyers in both Antwerp and Tel Aviv to imagine every diamond they look at as if it were to be set in their own wife's engagement ring. We make sure every diamond we sell will have the fire and sparkle to provide its new owner with pride and pleasure every time she looks at it. Let our diamond experts show you how the Shane Company's cut and quality standards protect you.
Now you have a friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. In Minnetonka at 394 and Hopkins Crossroad, and in Woodbury at I-94 and Radio Drive. Open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5.
Hi, it's Tim Connolly of Zone 105, and these are the Zone Files. Semisonic took a brief hiatus recently from recording sessions. The group left the studio for 3 festival shows in the UK and, of course, the appearance at the Minnesota State Fair. For vocalist Dan Wilson, playing the fair was a chance to fulfill an ambition he had as a kid. The shows also gave Semisonic a chance to road test some of their new material. The group have reconvened in the studio after the brief outing and are entering the home stretch of their still untitled next effort. Semisonic plan to have the album in stores by March 2001. The Zone Files, brought to you by Vizzy.com, because your business is online, and Alternative Classics, Zone 105.
What?
Yeah, hello, Mary Lucia, please, Mary?
Yeah, who's this?
This is Brian Oak. You might remember, we do a little show together each morning here on Zone 105.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to bug you. Things have been going great, and it seems pretty good. It's 6 o'clock, and the show started about a half hour ago.
What?
The show that we do here each morning started about a half hour ago. It's about 6 o'clock right now.
Who is this?
This is Brian at Zone 105. We work together. I'm the guy that doesn't shave often enough, probably could stand to bathe more frequently.
I'm on my way.
Brian Oak and Mary Lucia. Morning on Alternative Classics. Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Billy D. Williams is our guest tonight. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Billy was explaining to us during the break in as nice terms as he could, is that we really didn't do anything on the show. And you're not the first to bring that up, Billy. And I appreciate your candor, even though it was sort of fogged in a compliment a little bit. But I know what you're saying.
You don't have to discuss it.
I do want to discuss it because it's a good point. And a lot of people say to me, although no one talks to me anymore.
that is the point that people shouldn't expect we treat on this show.
But they say about the show, you know, did you help the person right. who called up? And sometimes, if it's a specific medical thing, we do help. But oftentimes, we don't. And that's fine. Because to me, the person that calls up is the person who's being sacrificed in the name of the many other people who are listening who may be going down that same path. And a lot of times when people call this show, they're already pregnant. They're already 14.
You love to talk.
Well, radio show. I know. That's what I'm going to do, though. I can't stand
it.
Everyone listen to me.
Blah, 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 blah.
He's accusing me of talking.
But it's a peer counseling.
I like to talk, yeah.
Well, listen, in terms of reaching young people, peer counseling has always been shown the most efficacious. So they really don't want to hear us. They want to hear the relatable source.
How dare you? They tune in to hear me.
Yeah, I know.
Blah, 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 blah.
So.
All right, Billy. We got off to a good start, but now our relationship's starting to come unglued here. You love to talk. It's not so much I love to talk, it's that I love the sound of my voice, right. My own voice.
Oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, it's got a great nasally tone.
Any kind of self-stimulation you're into.
Yeah, that's right.
Proceed.
Thanks.
I love Brian Piccolo.
Oh, my God.
Joanne?
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, Mr. Billy D. Williams.
Hello.
Oh, that's sorry. The first celebrity who said hi to me.
There you
great.
Go.
I'm famous. Okay, Adam.
Wait till he starts tearing you apart.
I know. That's your job.
You'll enter that phase in about 15 minutes. You stay on the line with Billy D.
Oh, okay. Adam, we love to listen to you, so you just keep on talking.
No, don't encourage him, Joanne, please.
Okay.
Blah, 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 blah.
Okay. And maybe this won't help me, but hopefully someone else out there will get some good advice. I have a brother-in-law who is a professional in his mid-30s, making big money and all, and he's got a 9-month-old son, my sister's son also, and he smokes pot every day. Every day.
And he does it in front of the child?
Pretty sure. Pretty sure. We went on vacation together, and he certainly didn't hold back in front of me doing it in front of his kid. He, you know, managed to get outside when he was told to go outside, but something tells me when they're at their own house, he's probably smoking in the house.
All right. Well, you've heard me talk about how marijuana addiction works, right?
Well, remind me again.
Okay. It's not a slowly progressive disorder. It's one that affects a subset of people with the genetic potential for alcoholism.
Yep.
And it's a he's an alcoholic, or his dad is an alcoholic, or
he's
something.
He's got major addictive.
Yeah,
family.
He's an alcoholic. And it's usually the third time they're exposed to the drug, as though the brain needs to be sort of primed to the effect, and then pow. They have this very intense euphoria. It's the most wonderful thing they've ever found, and they wake up every morning thereafter thinking about
take the guy back to junior high,
thinking about using it again and again and again. They use it pretty much every day and or every day for somewhere between 1 and 20 years.
Right.
And why that this great variability, no one knows. But as somewhere along there, the effect wears off. They start getting depressed, forgetful, anxious, sometimes panic attacks.
Well, and he's pretty much there. The guy can't sleep anymore.
All right. Well, now is the phase when they'll start really escalating the dose. They'll start using a lot more and lot stronger kinds of pot.
Well, what's up with your sister? Why do you think
he was
attracted to this guy?
Your dad's an alcoholic?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your dad's an alcoholic. She found another alcoholic. And
right.
So she needs to go to Al-Anon.
Now, the interesting thing is she's gotten him to stop drinking. So he doesn't drink.
Yeah, but pot, actually marijuana is a more difficult thing to stop. And the depressions that come when they stop can be very severe and actually dangerous. She needs to go to Al-Anon. That's the one thing that's likely to really get him into meaningful treatment.
Okay.
Get her to Al-Anon, stop focusing on him, make sure she gets a sponsor, works the steps, and as she starts growing in that treatment, amazingly, suddenly he'll show an interest. It's almost magical how this happens, but it does almost always. He'll be interested in doing something about this.
Now they have Al-Anon for toddlers.
Al-Anon. Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. I mean, and he's really good at manipulating because she will use recreationally, like not very often, but it's enough for him to be justified. Oh, you know.
Right. So is your worry that the child is being exposed to smoke or that he's just seeing what's going on?
It's just a future of growing up with a dad. And the thing is, you can't even say that he's, you know, a failure in his life because, you know,
there will be consequences from this drug use. And the child, even if you were raised by a different family, who nobody used any drugs, would have a 50% probability of becoming an addict or of inheriting the potential of that disease anyway.
So got it on both sides.
Well, whether it's one or both sides doesn't matter. It's still 50%.
Okay.
And then the most important prognostic indicator for that child is a parent in recovery.
All right.
So get your sister, Alan.
Really, can I talk? I want to say something first.
No, please.
True.
Yeah.
Why is it it's 50% no matter whether it's one parent or both parents
because
who have the alcoholic gene?
It doesn't follow classic genetic penetrance.
Ah.
It's a series of genes that don't segregate in Mendelian fashion, if that makes sense.
So you don't know?
No one knows.
Joel? And sure, why is it everything that you don't know, nobody knows?
Because I know.
Isn't there stuff other people know that you don't know?
This is not one of those things.
All right. Joel?
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, what's up, Joel? You're 16.
That's my main name.
That's my rap name.
Yeah, that's cool.
Thank you.
I was wondering what the long-term effects of shrooms are.
Nobody knows. Another thing nobody knows.
So Drew doesn't.
I saw somebody the other day that was having sort of typical post-hallucinogenic effects, a lot of mood and panic and things that we see from ecstasy, after a pretty heavy mushroom exposure. So we expect to see that kind of thing, and I'm beginning to see it here and there.
Yeah.
Though it's not so likely to occur as, say, with ecstasy or with LSD.
People don't seem to do enough of them.
They don't do as much of them, that's right. They don't do as big a dose. They don't do it frequently enough to really get the brain effect.
One of Drew's greatest disappointments in life is that not enough kids are doing mushrooms so that they can get any definitive information on it. Right, Drew?
That's a great disappointment.
Yeah. You never done mushrooms, though?
No.
Really? Ever done mushrooms?
No.
Oh, that's your thing, huh?
No.
Everything else, though, right?
Nothing.
Really? No. Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Boring. No pot?
Boring. Somebody said boring.
I don't know who that was.
It.
You never did any drugs.
I lead a very boring life.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
This is all a major shock to me.
Really?
The things I'm listening to, yes.
Yeah, we're used to it. Yeah. Hey, I've done mushrooms. I had a good time. But I did it once. I did it for the first time when I was like 19 and proclaimed this was the greatest day and the greatest drug ever. And then promptly did it again 7 years later. So I see it's something that people have trouble doing on a constant basis. And I'm guessing if they did do it as much as they did E. Or,
yeah, I was going to say, I'm seeing so much ecstasy-related brain damage right now. It's unbelievable.
Really?
I mean, just every day.
Billy, you like to have a drink every once in a while, though, right?
No, I don't.
Really? No
drinking? No.
Nothing? No vices?
Nothing. I just paint pictures.
Oh, you paint?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you paint?
That's all I do.
Is it stuff we can recognize?
Abstract reality.
Do you know what it is when you see it?
Yes.
Oh, really? Good. I don't like that stuff with a bunch of blotches. You know, my...
it's representational.
My sister, her boyfriend for many years was... his dad was a guy named Ed Moses. And this guy, he'd make some money as an artist. He'd sell his paintings for like 50 grand a pop. He paint these... Yeah,
I know his work.
You know his work.
Yeah.
Sed is his son, and that was my sister's, like, boyfriend for many years. And I used to go over, and speaking of smoking pot, by the way, holy Christ, I could barely see the paintings. I could get a fan in there to try to see the paintings. But I'd go look at his work, and he had these big canvases, 6 foot by like 8 foot, just big round circles on them. And I'm like, how much did that one go for, Ed? 50 grand. Really? I think I could do, if you give me like a basketball and some house paint, I think I could do that.
Did you train somewhere or just?
No, yeah, I trained. Yeah, I was. I grew up in New York City, and I went to a school called the National Academy of Design for the Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm.
I spent 2 years
just doing painting.
On the scholarship, won a Guggenheim.
I'm kidding.
And a Hall Garden when I was 18, 19.
Wow. Yes. But don't you have to be tormented to be a good artist? I mean, you're good looking. You've had a good career. You're not strung out on heroin. How can you be a good artist?
How dare you? How dare you?
Where's your strife?
Easy. There are all kinds of struggles in your life, right?
They
don't have to be about taking drugs.
Okay, but admit you'd be a better artist if you bottomed out with heroin. Right?
No, you're not right.
Okay. Or if you're like ugly, don't you think you'd be a better artist?
I am ugly.
Oh, how dare you call yourself ugly. That means we're all mutants, by the way.
We are actually mutants.
All right, now you're scaring me. Billy D. Williams is our...
We're more about the blood type than about anything else.
Well, what does that mean?
You work it out.
All right. Billy D. Williams is freaking me out. I'm going to go take a good long look in the mirror and urinate. Who are you coming with me?
I will. I'll protect you.
I need help.
Sure.
Love Line, Billy D. Williams is here. The Ladies' Man coming out this Friday, and we'll be right back after this.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back. This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
Igor, come here.
Yes, Master.
Boo! Ah, you know what time of year it is, don't you? It's time to get to the Fun Shop, your one-stop shop for all your Halloween gear.
Oh, yes.
The Fun Shop has hundreds of costumes for the young Disney characters. Pokemon! You like Pokemon, don't you, Igor?
I love Pikachu.
Love X-Men, the Powerpuff Girls. Oh, yes, and for adults, inflatable sumo suits, and the Back to 70s look.
Yes.
They've got everything. Wigs, masks, hats, props, makeup, too. Not supermarket stuff either. The real McCoy, like the Hollywood professionals you.
Oh, I love the Fun Shop.
Igor, you can even rent a fog machine and haunt your own house.
Oh, yes, master.
Great prices on black lights, strobe lights, scary music, and more. Come have fun at the Fun Shop.
The Fun Shop in Southdale, Burnsville Center, Knollwood, Mall of America, and our newest location in Maplewood, or shop online at funshop.com.
Dreamgirls is looking for a few good men, men 18 and older, for a serious study on human sexuality. Applicants for this study must apply in person at Dreamgirls and present a valid Minnesota ID. Those chosen to participate will be subjected to a wide variety of beautiful women. These women, in various stages of undress, are certified by Dreamgirls to elicit a wide range of responses from participating subjects. Men applying at Dreamgirls should be in overall good health and free from any heart conditions. Those bearing a ticket stub from any downtown event shall be admitted at no charge. Dreamgirls reserves the right to continue weekly appearances by adult film stars. Those wishing to utilize the discreet rear entrance of Dreamgirls shall be permitted to do so. For more information or directions to Dreamgirls, call 33-DREAM. Make a difference. Choose to participate at Dreamgirls. Open late, open now. Just west of Hennepin on 5th Street in downtown Minneapolis. Dreamgirls, where your fantasy begins.
The next time you're sitting at work, cruising the internet, hoping your supervisor doesn't sneak up behind you...
Johnson!
Ask yourself...
Well, if this job's so great, why am I sitting here wasting my time?
Then do this. Cruise over to zone105.com and find yourself a better job on our job search listing. Job Search is a listing of the best jobs in the area. From leading companies, you'll find everything from IT careers to third shift opportunities. Better hours, better pay, better company. It's all there at zone105.com. Once you find the site, look for Job Search and click. You're there. Job Search is a partnership of this station and Ludlow Advertising. Oh, and just a little tip. Face your monitor away from the hallway.
Time now for the weekly planner. The supercomputer sale is back. Join JP out at the State Fairgrounds on Saturday, October 14th from 1 to 3. Save big and win prizes too. The supercomputer sale, October 13th through the 15th. Join Shelley Miller this Wednesday, October 11th at the 4th Street Station and the lab located at 4th and Sibley in downtown St. Paul. The live ska music from the Velveteens. There'll be a bar tab and cash giveaways, and student IDs get you in for a buck. Stop in at your neighborhood Taco John's and try one of their delicious meat and potato burritos. There's a whole lot of Mexican going on at Taco John's. Brothers is the hottest bar in the Warehouse District. Happy hour is from 4 to 7, and everything is 2 for 1, even on event nights. Brothers, 430 First Avenue. Always the best specials, always the most fun guaranteed. Tune in to KMWB 23, where you can watch Spin City weeknights at 6 and 6:30. That's the weekly planner. Listen for updates.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Grew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Billy D. Williams is our guest tonight. You will find him coming up in The Ladies' Man, which is hitting the theaters this Friday. And we're just looking at a picture of Billy's work.
Did you burp when you came in here?
No. Why? You smell something?
Yeah. Garlic?
No, it wasn't me.
Garlic.
No. I didn't eat garlic tonight.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this turn into some kind of friar's roast with you two? Please, stop ganging up on me. You know, I appear to be strong, but I'm frail.
I tell you!
Billy is also not only a great actor, but a great artist. We're just taking a look at one of his pieces.
Well, you don't know I'm a great artist.
Oh, what the hell? That's a kiss a little ass. See if I can win you over. All I know is I'm no art expert. I know what I like, and I don't like too much because I don't like stuff I can't make out. Here's the deal. I have low self-esteem. Anything I think I could do, it's got to be junk. And then when I see art that I couldn't do, I label it as genius. So this I couldn't do.
Oh boy.
Therefore it is genius.
If I'm a genius, then I got no place to go.
No, nowhere but down. Now, do you sell your paintings?
Yeah.
What do they go for?
Anywhere from, I don't know, about $125 up to $35,000.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
$125,000? Well, that's quite a range. Mm-hmm. I always want to buy a painting, but I'm too scared. Are you that way, Drew?
You know where I buy my paintings? On the street in New York.
Really?
Those little, like, outside the Met and stuff. You know, those people buying, you know, selling little paintings and things.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
I just love the stuff they sell. Some people are really seriously talented.
Oh, absolutely.
And they get a nice frame, and they get art.
One time I had a job. A friend of mine called me, said he's going to Santa Barbara. He had a job setting up art and they would have like these auctions. I don't know what you call these things. You load a van up with 100 paintings, you take them out to some gymnasium, and you just set them up on 100 easels, and the townsfolk come in and just sort of bid on big sofa-sized crappy paintings. And we were unloading all of this art and 100 paintings, and I wasn't paying attention to many of the paintings, but once stood out as being hideous to me and to my buddy John, who was sitting out. We're thinking to ourselves, this thing will never sell. This thing is junk. I'm getting a headache looking at it. It went up for auction, and this one guy fell in love with this thing, and he said, he said, I have to have this painting. I don't care what it costs, and I'm calling it Love of Life.
Oh my God.
And it was at that point I realized there's no accounting for taste.
Artist subjective.
Very well, no, more that he was an asshole than artist subjective, as I've explained to my mom many times. But anyway, Billy actually does have talent. I'd like to buy one of his $125 paintings, by the way.
Do you want to give out the website where they can see it? Well, $125, I did my take on The Empire Strikes Back. I did a painting of it. So now I decided to do 1,000 signed lithos.
Oh, I see.
That's the $125 one.
Yeah, I could still go for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I could do that. The question is for Billy D. Williams. Is there a website where he can see your paintings?
It's BillyDWilliamsWorldArt.com.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Or BDWWorldArt.com.
Well, there you go.
No space.
There you go. And this guy.
Also, I got two books out that I co-authored, too.
With pictures of your art in it?
No,
or
no.
Just books?
No, a book about psychic spying.
Really?
Yeah, remote viewing, yeah.
You're doing that to me now?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. Because if you can pick up, I'm thinking about my ass sweating right now.
Your ass sweating.
It's working. Really? What?
Well,
okay, tell us about that.
The first one is called PsyNet. PSI/NET. And the second one just came out. The first one did very well, so it's in paperback now. But the second one came out in August called Just in Time.
Now, this is an actual thing that I think our government has worked with psychics who attempt to spy.
It started in the 40s with the KGB, and then the CIA picked up on it, and they had some.
Oh, yeah. Well, work like a charm. I mean, what about Bay of Pigs? We knew exactly what the Soviet Union and Cuba was up to.
It's all about the sixth sense, and I think that's always a fascinating subject.
But does it work? I mean, is it?
I think there are some people who are quite capable of using it to some degree.
Can they document it? Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, is the government still involved with that?
I don't know, but I would say probably.
Do you think so?
It could be. Well, it's great for covert activity when you really come right down to it.
It's great if it works, but if it doesn't work.
Evidently it did work up to some point.
Right. Right.
To some degree.
Well, I guess if it works 10% of the time.
More misses than hits, probably, I'm sure.
Right. And the only problem I can think of is that the misses could be semi-catastrophic if you buy into them.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm thinking right now? No. Are you interested in that? Do you have any of that ability?
No.
No, okay. That means yes to me, by the way. Mary?
Uh-huh.
You're 21.
Hi.
What's up?
I want to say I love Billy D. as Lando Calrissian, first of all.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I'm having an issue at school. I started a relationship with a married professor, like an idiot, and I haven't been doing the work that I needed to do, and more or less he's threatening to fail me unless I sleep with him.
So you
wait a minute, I thought you already had the affair with him.
No, I basically have ended it, and he's threatening me now.
But now wait a minute, is he threatening you or saying, hey, you didn't do your work, I'm going to fail you?
Well,
and then you said, wait, what about our friendship? Well, if we reestablish our friendship, I might reconsider.
Listen, I wish Mr. Diliberti, when he was failing my ass out of biology in the 10th grade, would have given me that option. I would have given him a quick blowjob.
But
I really would have.
You understand? It's not right. The whole situation is a disaster, but it's a little bit of a different sort of emphasis here. Is he using the...
would you have done that?
No. He's using the fact that you've done poorly at the class as a way to try to leverage you back into the relationship?
Well, yes, I mean...
Or is he just saying, sleep with me or I'm failing you, period?
Well, I guess it's a little of both. I mean, he basically gave me the homework assignments and whatnot. and was like, oh, you just come out with me. And
all right, the whole thing is such a mess. I mean, the guy needs to be turned in for what he's doing. Anyway.
So his homework assignments were like masturbate in the tub?
No.
Stuff like that, or the actual work?
The actual work.
The behavior is completely, completely out of line. You got to report this. And you need to retake this class.
Well, first off,
how is he going to report it, though? He has an affair with him.
But every school got really ugly.
I think it'll probably end up getting pretty ugly at some point.
No, the students are completely protected in situations like
this. Really?
The teachers have absolute rules about
this. I agree with Billy. You should hide your own shame, your own personal shame for the rest of your life.
It's not that he was a teacher in the same school, which is bad enough, but in the same class while she was in that class. Isn't there absolute ethical boundary?
Mary, what school is this?
I would rather not say.
Is it a real school or one of our caller schools?
It's a real school.
Really?
How was she doing with her other subject?
I do really well in school. This is a very unusual thing.
And why did you drop off in this class?
Well, this is a subject that I am not good in. I get A's and B's and everything else. And
okay.
You need to talk to your dean students.
All right. Hold on a second. I'm sort of fascinated by this one because I'd really like to get the backstory. But we have take a break, Mary, all right?
Okay.
We'll come back and you tell us how it got started and how that worked and then why you broke it off and all that good stuff.
Okay.
All right. Billy D. Williams is our guest tonight. We'll get to Mary and get to the bottom of this affair with the teacher after this.
Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
This is Adam Carolla.
This is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
If you are driven to be the best and want to be paid the best, ABC Radio Sales wants to talk with you about your future now. ABC Radio's business is helping local businesses achieve and exceed their goals, and our sales department has an amazing track record. If you are a commissioned salesperson seeking an opportunity to make an unlimited income with a company recognized for excellence and success, your time is now. Only qualified candidates will be interviewed. If you are interested in joining the ABC Radio Sales team, please see this station's website for more information. ABC Radio is an equal opportunity employer.
Another tremendous offer from the Midwest's largest fitness dealer, Second Wind's Fit and Fly.
Second Wind's Dick Enrico.
Let the experts at Second Wind help you shed your excess baggage by getting in shape with the best and largest equipment selection in town. Home gyms and free weights by Parabody and Hoist. Treadmills from LifeX, Landex, Pacemaster, True Vision, and a host of others. Along with the hot new ellipticals and the ever-popular club-quality Stairmaster. In stock and ready to go.
Second Wind is open 10 to 9 weekdays, 10 to 5 Saturday, noon to 5 Sunday. Use our special fit and finance credit, 90 days, no interest, no payment.
So get packing to Second Wind for your three-piece set of American Tourister luggage. Valued at $430. Absolutely free with any qualifying purchase. Second Wind's Fit and Fly deal is the real ticket to your health and happiness.
10 metro locations. Call the Second Wind Exercise Equipment Hotline for the location nearest you. 952-903-4900.
Second Wind, we like to say, we have it, we'll get it, or just isn't in town.
Muriel, could you come out to the garage for a minute?
What is it now, Roy?
I want you to smell the car.
Look, Roy, the new car smell is gone, and there's nothing you can do about it.
But I really like that smell.
Well, you know, Roy, there are more important things.
Like what?
Like making sure the car runs smoothly. We have 38 more payments, and it would be nice if the car was still worth something when we paid it off.
Well, it would be even nicer if it still had that smell.
Yeah. Look, just take it up to Precision Tune Auto Care.
Can they fix the smell?
No.
Oh.
But they can change the oil, check the brakes, do the diagnostics, and all the scheduled service.
Can I ask about the smell?
No. Just ask them about their 12-month, 12,000-mile guarantee.
Do you think that covers car smell? Muriel? Well, do you?
Want your car to run like new? Keep it going with Precision Tune Auto Care.
From diagnostics and repair to scheduled maintenance, Precision Tune Auto Care is the one stop for all your car care needs. To be connected to the Precision Tune Auto Care nearest you, dial Car Care, 651-227-2273, and keep it going.
When someone makes you an offer, either you want it and take it, or don't want it and don't take it. Of course, there are those you want and don't take, and those you don't want but take anyway. And who could forget the offers you never wanted, said no to a million times, but they give it to you anyway. As for me, I stick to the ones I want and need. Like this one from Xerox.
Now get a Xerox Document Center 332 digital copier, including everything. Lease, service, supplies, and 10,000 copies for only $349 a month. Just call 1-800-ASK-XEROX.
Everything you need for one low price. That's my kind of offer.
The Document Center copies 32 pages per minute, is networkable, easily upgrades to print, scan, and fax, and comes with a Xerox Total Satisfaction Guarantee. Call 1-800-ASK-XEROX for the Document Center right for you.
With Xerox, you get everything. Also known as the I'll be kicking myself if I don't call offer. Based on 60-month lease. See restrictions at Xerox.com/DOC.
Zone 105, with 20 years of alternative classics, all on one station.
Zone 105 kicks off your workday with 105 minutes of commercial-free zone music at 9 a.m. just after Brian Oak and Mary Lucia. Then join Zone 105 for the flashback luxury and the flashbacks at 5 for your ride home. 20 years of alternative classics. Zone 105.
Hey, this is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
We're smack in the middle of the zone.
Oh, wow.
105.
Zone 105, KZNR Lakeville, KZNZ Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie. This is Zone 105.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Billy D. Williams is our guest tonight. He's fascinated in our show, but not so fascinated that he's going to stay another goddamn hour.
Or even another goddamn minute.
Or goddamn minute. So Billy, as so conveniently happens and so often happens on this show, was slated to stay for the first hour. I guess, I don't know if we'd had that discussion or not, but it doesn't matter. We'll take this next, we'll get through Mary.
Okay.
And then we'll cut Billy loose, and he'll run sprinting and screaming for the town car out in the parking lot. We'll never see him again.
All right, so set.
Billy, could you put me in one of your movies, please?
Can you put me in one of yours?
Oh, come on. You got juice.
You can be on The Man Show.
You got juice. I want to play your son in your next film. I got the same hair. Actually, Billy's hair is straighter than mine. All right, there we go.
Recap here.
Okay, Mary is 21. Mary goes to a university, had an affair with her professor, who is married, broke the affair off. She broke it off, did not do the work in the class. Now he's threatening to fail her if she does not pony up the sex again. Mary?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get the chronology here. How long ago did this affair start?
It was at the beginning of the quarter, so it was in September.
September it started.
And you met him first as your teacher?
Yes.
And how long did it go on? You just broke up?
Mm-hmm.
How did you strike this up, by the way?
Well, he basically did. It's a subject where we have lab work to do, and it was lab work at night, and he would come to the labs and socialize with the students and whatnot, and it just sort of all evolved out of that.
Do you like him?
Do I like him?
Yes.
I did.
And why don't you like him now?
Yeah.
Well, I found out a lot of things about... I've grown up even in this short of time. I mean, it was a huge mistake.
Well, 3 weeks is a long time.
Well, I don't... You know what I mean, Adam. I just...
I'm going to push you on 2 points. Why don't you like him?
I'm sure because I'm going to get busted.
Why don't you like him?
Why don't I like him?
Why did you suddenly go from liking him a lot to not liking him?
Because he's, I don't know, I guess because he's a predator.
And why did you come to that conclusion?
Well, because I found things out about him that he's done it before.
With other women.
He's pressuring me. And
Did you want him to leave his wife or something? And
No.
And then again, now, how did you strike this up? Exactly how did it go down?
He struck it up.
Yeah, but how did it go down?
Are you afraid of him?
Yes.
Why? What do you think he's going to do?
I don't know. I feel like my whole college career is going to be threatened. And
not if you go to being a student and report what this guy's done. You're completely exonerated. They'll dismiss this class. You'll take it again, and that'll be that. You're a victim here.
What if the dean of students wants sex?
Then go to the president.
And then if he wants, okay. Hey, Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's what I don't understand. He is threatening to fail you, even though he knows that if he threatens you and fails you, that you may rat him out and ruin his entire career. Doesn't he know that?
He's not dangerous, is he?
He hasn't physically threatened me. I mean, he hasn't been violent with me or anything.
Right. Don't you think his threatening to fail you is sort of sour grapes? I mean, maybe an attempt to get you back? Do you think he'd actually go through with it and fail you?
He sounds serious, but I guess we don't know until the...
You've got to report this.
Well, wait a minute. I have a more realistic...
What is the subject, anyway?
She won't tell us.
Biology, chemistry, something like that.
Is it something big? Is it something that...
It's something that's required for me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mary, here's your plan of action. Are you listening?
I'm listening.
And when does the class end?
In about 2 weeks.
Okay. You go to him and you say, listen, what's going on between us? You made some mistakes. I made some mistakes. Neither one of us wants anyone to find out about this, although you stand to lose a lot more than I do. Make sure you point at him when you do that if someone finds out about this. I understand I haven't been doing the grades, and I understand you're upset, but here's the deal. Let's reach a little compromise. It's called the B plan. You give me a B, and I leave you B. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You fail me, and I'm going to the dean of students, and you're going to open a big can of worms. Give me a B, fine. I'm moving on. You move on. That's life. That's the way the world works.
Is my word good enough? I don't have any proof or anything.
You're fine. You're a chick. Are you good looking?
Yeah.
All right. He'll believe you.
He's done
believe
it before.
That's how guys work.
This advice is coming from a man who wears plaid brilliantly.
I wear prison clothes to work.
Mary,
is there an angle? Is there another angle Billy could assault me on? Really?
There are multiple levels to this problem, and you need to get the ball rolling in terms of you getting out of this, extricating yourself from this class, being able to retake it. Getting this guy. Getting this. She's pre-med.
That's advice from a man who wears.
Green.
And
she. It's not.
Who knew Billy was this evil? He's looking like a nice guy.
He's coming out.
Jeez, when I saw him talking about Brian Piccolo, I even got a totally different impression of Billy.
But Mary, this guy needs to be brought to some sort of justice for this, because he is taking advantage of severely miscarrying his position, victimizing people. He's hurting you. You need you need some treatment for having been such an easy, so prone to victimization.
The Second World War is over.
Yes, take those fatigues off. Billy's punching now. You sure you don't drink?
He's losing it.
All right, hey, Mary?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Drew gave you plan C. I gave you plan B. Go with B.
Okay.
All righty.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to let Billy D get out of here. Now, not a moment too soon. Lord knows what his next attack would be. The ladies' man, everyone, coming out this Friday, the 13th. Billy D. Williams can be found in that. And also, why not check out his website? Give that out again one more time if you want to see some cool art.
BD Art World, that is?
BDW.
BDW.
Billy D. Williams.
worldart.com, one word, no spaces,
and
www.worldart.com.
check that out. Nice to meet you.
It's my pleasure meeting you.
And
I do enjoy your show very much.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Not quite as much as though he originally led you to believe.
The bloom is off the rose between me and Billy, that's for sure. But that's
and I see great things
for you. Oh, yes, he's using some of that psychic eye, yeah. All right, Billy, get the hell out of here.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you both.
And I know this was a hit-and-miss experience for you, but please, if you got another project to plug or something, come back.
Okay.
All right. We'd enjoy having it.
Dash back here.
Thank you for inviting me. Thanks.
We'd love to see you. All right. The great Billy D. Williams, everybody. Drew, you ready to hop on another phone call here?
There you go.
Nice to meet you, sir. Thank you very much. Interesting. It's always, the thing that's interesting about this job is people you've seen and you've appreciated for many years, you get to sit across from them and have them make fun of you. Have them attack your character. It's great. No, he's a nice guy. Bianca?
Yes?
You're 21.
Yes, I am.
What's up there, Freaky Deaky?
Wow. Actually, I was calling to ask you, Adam, out on a date.
Uh-huh. Where do you live?
I live in San Diego.
All right. Well, why don't you come on out here? Let's get a look at you.
All right. Now, how do I go about doing that?
Well, you hop on the 405.
It's 2 hours away, though.
Head north.
She has to come up tomorrow night.
All right. Why don't you come by tomorrow night?
Okay, sure. Are you actually serious?
Well, I'm not saying we're going on a date. We can come by.
He may only just look at you through the glass window here.
Through the glass door.
He may not actually talk to you, but he'll, you know, he'll
right.
take a look, right?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. You want to come on out?
If I can, yeah.
All right. Shall we put you on hold and talk to you when I am?
Sometimes you have to do more than that. Everyone's going to call and ask for...
Oh, really?
Well, it couldn't be that easy.
I don't know. Remember that time I had the listener take me to the airport?
Oh.
What?
Why? Well, I screwed my morning up, not just yours.
Oh, that's right. And she ended up going to the mall and...
No. She just didn't show up.
Bill never found that bitch. I swear to God, I got a bounty on her head. Oh, I cannot believe that. Be running up and down a rain-slick... canyon road with a week's worth of luggage. Oh, my God.
And
oh
then and you were loaded, too. Remember that? Because you got to the airport and were yelling at the American Airlines people.
Okay, how dare you?
It's true.
For those of you who don't know this story, it really is it's one of the things I'll remember on my deathbed.
Poetic. It's a poetic story.
I said to Drew, Drew and I go to New York from time to time, and we leave from LAX, and we have to catch a 7 a.m. flight, which...
this was actually Chicago for that goddamn Jenny Jones show, wasn't it?
It may very well have been. The point is there's nothing more miserable because I cannot go to bed before 1:30 or 2 in the morning, and in order to catch a 7 o'clock flight from LAX, which is not near my house, I must get up at 5:15 or 5:20. So you do the math on the sleep. It is not a great night. I wanted Drew to come pick me up on his way to the airport because I did not want to. We were going to be gone. It wasn't for Jenny Jones. It was for something because we were going to be gone for like a week.
Okay.
And I want to leave my car at the airport parking lot
right.
and have a $150 tab. And I said, Drew, that is ridiculous. We both live generally in the same area.
Half hour my way. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, how dare you!
During peak traffic hours. Yeah.
Peak traffic hours. It's a 5:45, you jackass.
All right, go ahead. Tell the story.
Well, don't get me riled. So I said to Drew, come pick me up on your way to the airport. And we'll split the cost of the parking at the airport. He said, I can't. I don't have time. I said, why not? I have to go to the hospital. I'm going to have to make the rounds.
That's
I said, what
true,
time do you have to make the rounds at? Well, I'll make the rounds at 5:30 in the morning. I said, Drew, it's 12 o'clock at night right now.
Right.
You're going to make the rounds at 5:30 in the morning before you get on a 7 o'clock flight to New York? Yes. So here's what Drew says. Why don't you come home with me? You can sleep on the sofa. This is not when Drew's living in the compound, by the way. This one's living in the Sears gardening shed to pay too much for on top of some hill. You can go sleep with the dog on the sofa in God knows what kind of dried kitty vomit. And then when I make the rounds at 5:30 in the morning, you can wait in the car.
And sleep.
Yeah, and I said, will you crack the window so I can breathe? I said, Drew, how dare you? I'm literally a millionaire. I do not wait in a car.
You were not a millionaire at that point.
I was literally half a millionaire at that point. The point is I said, that is ridiculous. You pick me up. Drew said, no, I will not pick you up. I said, I will not drive myself to the airport. I took a stand. If people know I'm a man of character.
Mm. And conviction.
And conviction. I take a stand on things like driving myself to the airport
mm-hmm.
and other things I have to do for myself. So I said, I will get a listener to drive me to the airport before I drive myself to the airport. And I said, here's what I need. I need a woman because I don't need to be raped by a man on the side of the 405. Second thing I need is a newer, safer vehicle, something that's not going to break down, something with an airbag in it. And I need the person to be responsible because they have to come pick me up at 5:45 in the morning.
Right.
Okay, good enough. So I put the call out. I got a couple of girls calling in, did a little screening process, found out, decided on one of them. Oh, I always trust my gut. And I said to this young lady, listen, you realize it's, you got to pick me up at 5:45 in the morning because I got to make a 7 o'clock flight. And I'm not talking about 6:10. I'm talking about 5:45.
You can't miss.
She
cannot
said,
miss.
No worries. I get up early. I get up at that time anyway. As it turns out, she lived on Gower in Santa Monica or something. She literally lived down the street or down the hill from me. I said, fine. I gave her directions. And then I started thinking about it. Do I want to give her directions to my door? I thought, nah, I don't think that's a great plan. I'm leaving town for a week. She's going to have a party in my house while I'm gone. I will tell her to meet me on Beechwood down the street from my house, which means I have to go down 785 stairs.
Yeah.
They have all these stairs that connect the streets up in the hills. I'll go down those stairs. It'll still be worth it. And I'll tell her, just meet me up up the hill on Beechwood there. Don't meet me right at my house. So I gave her very explicit directions about where to meet me, blah, blah, blah. Went down the stairs. Now it's dark at 5:45 in the morning.
It's misting.
I went to bed at 2:15. I'm completely out of it. And it's actually raining. It's drizzling. So it's sort of dark in, it's like, I guess what the weather's like in Scotland.
It's like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde scene.
Yeah.
A London fog.
Right. You see it coming down around the streetlight.
Yeah.
So there I am, standing with a week's worth of Samsonite and underpants, wearing an overcoat, wearing a pair of boots, standing down. It's still dark, and I'm waiting. And I'm standing down there in Beechwood, and it's raining. And it's 5:15. And it's 5:50. And it's 5:53. And now I'm getting a little nervous. Maybe she didn't know the direction. Now what do? Drag the suitcase with me and go walk a block around the corner? Maybe she's parked just at the market, just around the corner. Leave the suitcase out on the sidewalk, hoping someone's not going to walk their dog and steal it. And I go jogging down the street. Then I realize, okay, maybe she passed by this area. She's waiting on the next corner. I can't see around the bend. Drop the suitcase, run the other way. Go there. Finally realize it's like 6:08, and I think to myself, this bitch ain't coming.
Yeah.
And I'm standing. Now, by the way, my house is 1,000,000 stairs, and it's wet, and I got two huge suitcases, and I'm wearing, you know, a sweatshirt and an overcoat. And you know what? I'm chugging up that thing. And I'm dragging that
thing. And now you're really late.
Oh, now I'm hauling ass, and I'm leaving about 6:10, and I'm hauling ass up these stairs, and I'm sweating like a drug addict. At the top, I throw the suit, I run up my house, grab the keys, I jump in my car, throw the suitcase in there, and now I'm cursing this bitch the entire way, and I'm hauling ass. And I know Drew's at the airport, and I know he's waiting for me, and I know we got to do Jenny Jones or whatever the hell we're doing that afternoon, and I got a 7 o'clock flight, and I'm chugging. I'm chugging like OJ through that airport, man. I get there, and I get to the airport at like, I don't know, 6:47 or something. It's a 7:05 flight, and I'm running, I'm chugging, and I see Drew in the distance. He's yelling, Ada, come on, buddy. Drew, you're on the plane, and you got off the plane,
yes,
right?
This is Florida. I remember this now.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I left a coat on the plane.
Yes. We were doing a speaking engagement at the University of Florida. 8,000 people
literally,
showed up.
Actually, 8,000.
No, actually, 8,500 people showed up at the event at the basketball stadium, the biggest gig we've ever done. I'm running like a maniac. Drew's yelling at me. We get to the gate.
And they pull the purple sash across the gate. They're like that purple rope.
Right.
Just right across.
And the plane is parked there.
Yeah.
And Drew's coat is on the plane. And I'm looking at the plane, and Drew's looking at the plane, and I'm looking at the pilot, and there's a, you know, sheet of glass and 10 feet before the plane. And I say, you don't know what I've been through, but let's just get on this plane. Nope.
You see our policy?
You see our policy.
Before takeoff,
and
closing the gate.
Yes. And I said to this son of a bitch, was this Delta?
Yeah.
I said to this sea sucker on Delta, I said, where is this policy, this 10-minute a policy. Oh. He says it's everywhere. Oh. It is everywhere. I say, where? Everywhere, he says. I've never seen it written that you have to get there 10 minutes. Oh, yes, it is. So what do? I pulled my ticket out, and I say, here's the ticket I have to get on this plane. You show me where it's written on plane, on this ticket. He said, well, it's written everywhere but the ticket. Fantastic. Oh, he really made his point. At that point, you need to cave in and let me on the plane. But no, he does not let us on a plane. And here's the ironic thing about all this stuff, because I've not been let on many planes. The argument that you have about why you can't be let on the plane takes 10 times as long as the goddamn walk to the plane would take.
10 times.
Easily. And so I say to the guy, please, you don't know. By the way, the plane is still here. Just let us on the plane. And he says, no. And so I finally say to him, and I think this confused him, I want to talk to the guy from the commercial. And he says, what do you mean? I said, I've seen the Delta commercial. You know the friendly guy who chases the guy through the airport because he left his attaché case on the bench? The guy that helps the old woman? The guy that opens the door? The guy, that guy. Where is he? Go get him! I started yelling at this poor MF-er. And he had no idea who that guy was or what I was talking about. It was just the rantings of a madman at that point.
And it was yelling.
Oh, yeah.
I made no mistake about it.
Now Drew's yelling at me for being
like. Yeah, we're yelling at each other. Yes,
and
yes.
I'm yelling back at Drew. Yes. And Drew's scared assless because his $2,000 cashmere and camel hair raincoat that his wife just bought him is on the plane that he's not on. And if anyone knows Drew's wife, he knows there's a new a-hole torn for him. And, although she spent your money to buy it.
I do remember the word seasucker flying around there multiple times.
And now we're in the argument. We're in the like minute 15 of this argument still staring at the plane.
Yeah. Captain waving at us.
The bottom line is not getting on the plane. I'm covered with sweat. Drew's new coat is on the plane. And
there's
and
a band on the
kill.
Plane.
There's a band on the plane.
Yeah, they were just
up on.
They were up here about 6 weeks ago, too, the same band.
They were on the show the night before.
Yep.
And then.
We'll think of it after.
All right. Well, anyway, never did get on the plane. And I'm still looking for that bitch who would not pick me up that rainy morning. And if anyone knows who she is, or if she's listening. Please,
we'll get her.
I'll bury the hatchet with her if she can call in the show. All right, well, mine too. Oh, yeah, that's Bianca. That's right, yeah.
That's what got you going.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Bianca?
Yeah,
hi. Yeah, what'd you want? You want to ask me out? Can you drive?
No.
You don't have a license?
I don't have a car here. I cannot believe that's a horrible story.
You don't have a car here?
Where I am.
Where do you have a car?
I don't have a car in general.
Okay. Okay, listen, you're too dumb for me.
Don't have a car here.
Listen, all you idiots.
On Earth.
I think you're going to...
Don't have a car here on Earth. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we figured your Lexus was in the shop.
I thought she was going to say she was away to school. Her car's in Arizona. No, Earth.
Listen, you morons, who call this show. That is right up there with, my boyfriend's in jail for a parole violation. You would not fool us with these semantics. All right, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to cool off. We'll be back after this.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191. Loveline.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Extra, read all about it. Sexwell now offers tattoos and body piercings.
This just in, tattoos and body piercings will now be available at Sex World. For more, we take you live to the third floor of Sex World, where officials are waiting to make a short prepared statement.
This thing on. My guess is that you're not here to cover our newest vibrator. Of course, maybe she is. Anyway, as you've probably already heard, Sex World is now proud to offer tattoos and body piercings here on our third floor. The shop is called Sin and Ink. They specialize in all types of tattoos, traditional, custom, tribal, you name it, they do it. The tattooing and body piercing equipment at Sinanique is all state-of-the-art, and cleanliness is their top priority. Well, that's about all there is to say. Please help yourselves to the deli tray set up inside the video booth to your left. And, of course, as always, thank you for coming.
Very well. Sin and Ink. Tattoos and body piercing now available at Sex World. 241 2nd Avenue North, the Warehouse District, downtown Minneapolis.
W-A-R-D-Y-L-W-R-D-Radio.
The Adult Contemporary Station for Contemporary Adults. Today's show, Hot Stuff with Chef Tony. Sponsored by Arby's new Spicy Bacon and Jack.
It's Chef Tony, less Jack Spicy. Here's Arby's sandwich, Chef Tara.
Hi, Tony. Arby's Spicy Bacon and Jack starts with juicy roast beef.
Ooh, I like roast beef.
Yeah, or chicken.
Ooh, I like chicken. But when are we going to get spicy?
Tony, keep your mind on the food. Seriously, I'm adding zesty pepper jack cheese, thick-cut pepper bacon, and ooh-la-la spicy three pepper sauce.
That's hotter than a pepper with a sunburn. Hotter than a picnic on the sun. Hotter than...
It's not that hot, Tony. Try it yourself.
Mmm. Oh. Want to make this at home? Sorry, no can do. So go to Arby's, buy a spicy bacon and jack. And remember, let's get spicy.
Arby's new spicy bacon and jack at participating Arby's for a limited time. Satisfy your grown-up taste.
Do you feel like your career has gone offline? Well, get back online and on track for success through one of the high-tech programs at the Minnesota School of Business. Call 651-229-3600 and log on to a program in software development, network support, network systems engineers, or harness the power of the World Wide Web through our e-commerce program. And now you can even take some courses online. Minnesota is a leader in technology, and the demand for trained professionals in these fields is reaching all-time highs. Let the Minnesota School of Business be your gateway to success. Give us a call at 651-229-3600 or check out our website at www.msbcollege.com. Financial aid is available to those who qualify. Call 651
651-229-3600. 651-229-3600. The Minnesota School of Business. A world of opportunity awaits you.
Hi, William Shatner here. Wouldn't it be great if you could save up to half off your grocery bill every time you shop? Well, now you can. Listen.
With Priceline, I'm shopping still at the same store that I've always shopped at. I'm saving at least $40 a week, and I'm getting the products that I want.
I'm saving about $30 to $40 when I check out. It makes me smile. It's great.
It won't be long before everyone's naming their own price for groceries at Priceline.com.
Using Priceline, I think we save about $60 a week.
Hey, this is Ben. Overnights on Alternative Classics on 105. Now, since you're already up this late, why don't you just hang on all night with me? I'm up after midnight. I've got 20 years of Alternative Classics. Classics, 80s flashbacks, and a whole lot of love. Just ask yourself this. Do you really like your job? I mean, do you?
20 years of Alternative Classics. So, 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. Yep. That's what's wrong with the world, Drew.
Oh, boy.
Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. A very bizarre and strange encounter with Billy D. Williams tonight. He was giving me the stink eye, but he liked me.
Kind of.
Yeah, thank you, Drew. Thank you. It's important that people not know that he liked me.
Really?
Really, in a more total way, yeah. But that he just sort of partially
almost
liked
you. Yeah.
That's right. And but he had a sense of humor about it. Interesting guy. All right, Drew. That's good radio. Want to bang some stuff together? Todd?
Yeah?
You're 25.
I am. Hey, Todd. Or, hey, Dr. Drew. Hey, Adam. How you doing?
Hey, Todd?
He's nervous. hey, Todd. I'm guessing that's not your real name if you're calling us that.
No, it's Todd.
Really?
It's actually my middle name. So.
Okay. All right. What's up there, Todd?
Anyway, my girlfriend, who is 25 also, has started having orgasms with me for the first time. And she kind of squirts when she has her orgasm. And I'm just wondering, A, is this normal? And B, what is this?
What's coming out of her?
It's a clear fluid.
Nice. It's a female ejaculation, and there's a bunch of glands there that can produce this fluid.
Okay.
And it's a normal thing.
Okay. You'd never hear of it, and I was just...
Oh, yeah. It seems like we talk about it at least once an hour every night here.
Okay.
Do you listen to this show?
Not often enough, I guess.
I guess, because, yeah, it does... I think we talked about it last night.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. It does come... And we did... I know we talked about it last night.
This one was... That one last night was having it before orgasm, remember?
Right. And she her,
it was
urine.
Yeah, we thought it was urine.
All right. So how much comes out, Todd?
Not a whole lot. Enough to be noticeable, actually.
I see.
And she's very conscientious about it and really doesn't know a whole lot about it. And neither did I.
It's normal, and she needs to calm down, don't you think?
I don't have a problem with it.
Right. And she wasn't having orgasms until you?
Until recently.
She was having them on her own, and this was not happening. So
I
see. We were wondering whether it's with me.
Right, that's good. Yeah, you're doing good.
Thank you.
That's great. All right, Todd. Good luck.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just thought about something humiliating that happened to me tonight.
What? Tonight?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was having at myself after the show.
Last night?
Yeah. And as tradition would have it. And I used a little Kleenex to, clean up.
Uh-oh. Where did that Kleenex end up? Oh, my God.
And actually... end up using 3 or 4 Kleenex to, clean up.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, they decorate.
And I give it a little last wipe in there, too. What the hell? I was,
After the cleaning?
I ended up taking a Kleenex and just kind of tossing it on the, end table by the sofa there. and there it remained. The maid came in. As tradition would have it again, she came over about 5 o'clock. I told her I was going to go upstairs, take a little nap, took a little nap. Woke up about 5:45 and thought, ooh, geez, I wonder where that Kleenex is. Thought I'd better get down there and check that. And it had been cleaned up.
Oh.
So I didn't get there. And then I started thinking, geez, maybe I Maybe I threw it away, and then that's why I had to pray for that. No, I know, I didn't.
So, what's her name?
I'm not going to tell. She has kids. Jonathan, it would be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
You're 18, what's up?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I've been seeing this girl for about 4 months, and for the past 2 weeks, we've seen each other every day, and for the past week, we've been sleeping together, just not having sex. And my question is basically directed to you, Adam. I want to know your advice on how I'm supposed to get this chick in the sack.
Wait a minute. You already are in the sack with her.
No. But we have not had sex, and I've had blue balls for the past week.
Hang on. Where are you sleeping?
In her apartment, in her bed.
How old is she?
She's 20.
I see. She's 20. She has her own place. You're sleeping over. And no sex.
And no sex.
And she's not a virgin.
No.
And has she had a hard time with men?
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe had a bad dad or a bad boyfriend or two?
No, not really. It was just her last relationship, I guess, ended on a bad note.
What happened?
I don't know. She didn't go into details.
You don't know what's going on.
You don't want details.
Yeah.
Believe you me. Smart man. And here's the question. Does she like her dad?
Yeah.
She does. What's she doing?
Going to school.
I see. Junior college?
No.
Have you told her you would like to sleep with her?
Yes.
Or what does she say?
Basically, she says we're friends, and then she begins to, or we, like, stay up until 7 in the morning just going at it.
Yeah.
Going at it.
Yeah.
Doing what? What's that mean?
Just, you know, fooling around, basically.
Yeah. I think Jonathan's not abusive enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Does she grab your honker at all?
Beg your pardon.
Does she make contact with the honker?
Yeah. Not as vulgar as that, but she makes it known.
She touches you?
Yeah.
She gets your junk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Here's my theory about this.
Okay.
It's not because she's a prude.
She's too nice.
It's because you are the kind of guy she wished she was attracted to.
Right.
But she's not attracted to you because you're a nice guy and you're a pliable guy.
Right.
And she's used to a-holes. You get that? You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
That's the drill here.
And what she's basically doing is she's trying to get herself to like you. Like, come on, this is the guy I should like. Like, when I'm with the a-holes, this is the guy I always say, why can't I find a guy to treat me right? Why can't I find a guy who respects me? Why can't I find a guy who wants to stay up all night and talk and blah, blah, blah?
And there's a part of her it's afraid to get open with him, too, for fear of falling into that more real connection that's been so painful for her in the past.
Right. Okay. So, here's the answer. He needs to weave some booze into this situation. You understand?
Mm.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
You need to get some booze going. Does she drink?
No, she hasn't.
Unacceptable.
She has 5 months.
For what? Oh, she used to drink?
Yeah.
She's an alcoholic?
No.
She just stopped?
It was her choice. She wanted to.
Who's in the background?
My neighbor.
I see. Okay, listen, if she stopped because she wanted
she had a problem.
She had a problem with
people
booze.
Don't have a problem, don't stop.
Perfect.
Go along with
you. You got to get her back on the booze.
Oh.
If she has one cooler, she'll have 80. Believe me. But listen, so what about pot? You get her on some pot?
Who?
No, okay.
What was the deal with her last boyfriend? Do you have any idea?
They were together for about 3 years.
And what was the deal? Why did they break up?
I don't know.
Once you look, I would predict.
Do you know the guy?
No.
Was his name Kurt?
Steve.
What?
No.
But he was an a-hole.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
You
don't know what he did. You don't know what he drove. You don't know anything.
All I know is I guess he was a nice guy to her, but I apparently dicked her out at the end.
All right. Hey, Jonathan?
Yeah.
You may be in a little over your head.
You gotta wake up a little bit here, pal.
You're 18. You're with a 20-year-old. She's got her own pad. Ugh. I spent many, my entire career dating, going out with women that were over my head, out of my league, too old for me, too together. it doesn't work out. It really doesn't.
Maybe we had to go over that personal rating system.
There's nothing. That's fine. There's nothing worse as a guy who is 18, 19 years old trying to go out with some chick who's 20, 21, who has her own place, who's got her life together. You're way out of it. She wants to go out with some guys in his late 20s and has his ass together. And women, and I guess men will do this too, but women will really do it. Women will really spend time with a guy they're not that interested in and spend a considerable amount of time with him. Men may want to have sex with a woman they're not that interested in, but as far as staying up all night, fooling around, or penny for your thoughts, or let's go to the mall, or let's go catch a matinee, or let's go antiquing for 7 hours.
Not as a goal of mine.
No
right.
way.
Right.
Not unless he's trying to get in her pants.
Right.
He's
got a goal.
But here's what I'm saying. If he's not that interested in her, he's not going to spend an entire day trying to get in her pants. He may spend a couple of drinks in an hour. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Women will hang with a guy. Believe me, I know. I've had many a woman who was not interested in me physically hang with me. And I said many, I meant all. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's why Jonathan needs to find himself a nice 16-year-old.
No, an 8-year-old.
Really?
17 to 9-year-old.
All right. You want to talk about the personal rating system?
Sure.
This offends people, but it's something we haven't discussed in many, many years.
Yeah.
Months and years on this show. Everyone has a number. You can't argue with it. And people try to give me a hard time with this, which is, I do not have a number. Yes, you do. It's not all about looks. It's not all about how big your cans are. And for guys, it's not all about what car you drive. It's everything. And you have a number. And your number is different from one gender to the next.
And from one year to the next, too. Numbers change.
They can, yes. Meaning, for a woman, looks is more important. I mean, her number obviously has more to do with looks, whereas a man, that's a little bit lower down on the scale. For instance, it's four categories. Now, what is it with women? It's face, it's body, it's pliability, or just sort of ease of maintenance, ease of hanging, and personality. Not in that order. But they're all good for a certain thing. You give yourself a 1 to 10 in each one of those categories, divide by 4, and that's your number. All right? And you can't argue with it. And the reason for men, it's looks, personality, position. I say position because it's not so much about how much money you make. It's what you're doing that makes you that money that women are interested in. I mean, there are guys whose daddy left them $10 million, whose women aren't nearly as interested in, as a guy who's on TV.
Or a guy's running, you know, Greenpeace or something. You know what I mean?
Whatever. Yeah. Working with a cat
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was number 4 for guys?
Let's see. Looks, personality,
position,
and sense of humor / spirit.
Yeah.
Women are very interested in a guy who's dynamic or has a sense of humor, or, you know, these guys that like to tell jokes or go mountain biking or whatever.
Right.
They're attracted to that. Whereas with men, we don't care if a chick's dynamic. Like, I'm going bungee jumping. Great, take your pants off. I'm going to do the eco challenge where we hike through the Gobi. Take your pants off. That's how guys are.
Now, guys, you mean like 18, 20-year-old guys?
No, I'm talking about all guys.
No, come on.
Not that interested in a chick who's going to do the eco challenge or is going to change the world.
As guys get older, they're more interested in
it's a factor, but it's not bigger than breast or ass, which is really great. It really shows how far we've come as men, which is, yeah, this chick, well, basically, Mother Teresa passed the torch to her, but her ass is a little big, so I ain't interested. She's doing the Lord's work, but she's got a little dimple on her ass, so I ain't interested.
And so you want to be at the same number as your partner?
Here's what you want.
Oh, up above.
You would like to find, ideally, you would like to get someone who's a point to a point and a half, maybe 2 points higher than you are.
What if it's 4 points higher?
4 points, no good.
Doesn't work.
Their friends will wise them up eventually, and they'll dump you, whichever way it is, whether it's the male being higher or the female being
eventually
higher.
Eventually, you wake up to the numbers difference.
Absolutely. And people say, listen, what do you mean it has to do with love? But believe me, it works, and people know what their number is. Do you know what I'm saying? I cannot date a supermodel because they know what their number is.
You know, I found interesting.
You understand
about,
that?
Yeah. What I found interesting about your, it made me more than that, too. But the showering issue kind of could be a deal breaker.
Hey, and once in a while, it'll happen. Once in a while, a supermodel, once in a very, very, very great while, a supermodel will go out with some Joe Schmo guy.
Right.
How long does it last?
Right.
She wises up eventually. There's too big. When the number is too spread out, it does not work.
The other thing I found interesting about this, when you and I had gone out and talked about this a little bit, people, women always take exception to the idea of looks and position.
Right.
And yet when you talk to them, they can't distinguish those two sometimes.
That's right.
Which is fascinating.
That is right.
To them, the ugly guy in this great position, such an attractive guy.
Right.
And you try to go, no, can't you see? No, he's attractive.
No, I'm going to give you. I'm going to explain how that works and do a car analogy.
Adam, no, you and I were. Remember, we were the examples that one day when Roseanne and Anka were talking about it. Remember
on the Roseanne show?
Yeah.
Yes.
And we said, you know, well, for instance, what's our number? And they go, oh, you guys are very attractive guys. We go, no. You understand? We're making an example that we're not.
Right.
But we have good positions. Oh no! How can you say that? How dare you?
I don't know, Drew. You are very good looking. Really are. You're very handsome.
Oh!
I would not. I'd say you have a very high number game. But do not make this mistake where you play this game with one of your friends, especially your partner Jimmy Kimmel. And he's explained to you why you're like a 4.5 in the looks department. And you tell them, well, I don't know. You know, I may not be any model, but I gotta come on. Give me a 7. Oh no. No, don't worry. You make it up for being on the radio. But physically, you're repulsive.
That's nice.
Yeah, he was telling me I was an ugly Pete Sampras. I remember once he was telling me. I said to him, he was saying, like, who do you look like? Does anyone say you look like anyone? I go, Pete Sampras. He goes, yeah. I mean, like, you know, an ugly Pete Sampras. He was deadly serious about the whole thing.
Man.
All right, he got called a fat Bob Crane in a newspaper once. All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break, and we'll be back after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Loveline on the Zone 105.
Well, we can all feel a little better about the world we live in. There's now an adult bookstore in Minneapolis that doesn't make you feel like you've walked into a sleazy dungeon complete with sticky floors and 20-year-old merchandise. They're called Lickety Split, and recently they were chosen by City Pages as the Twin Cities premier adult book and video store. But you probably knew that. After all, adult entertainment is the in thing these days. And Lickety Split is a big reason why. The store is extremely clean and well-lit, making you feel comfortable while you shop to satisfy your wild cravings. They have an extensive collection of magazines, toys, and videos, including novelty items for everyone. Lickety Split also has an excellent collection of sexy clubwear and dancewear for amateurs and professionals. Open 24 hours, Lickety Split is located next to Rick's Cabaret at 251 3rd Avenue South. Parking is convenient and nearby. Let your daddy's dirty little bookstore rest in peace. Lickety Split is the adult adventure store for your generation.
Igor, come here.
Yes, master.
Whoa! Ah, you know what time of year it is, don't you? Yes. It's time to get to the Fun Shop, your one-stop shop for all your Halloween gear.
Oh, yes.
The Fun Shop has hundreds of costumes for the young Disney characters. Pokemon! You like Pokemon, don't you, Igor?
I love Pikachu.
What, X-Men, the Powerpuff Girls.
Yes, and cool.
Oh, yes, and for adults, inflatable sumo.
Oh.
And the back to 70s look.
Yes.
They've got everything. Wigs, masks, hats, props, makeup, too. Not supermarket stuff either. The real McCoy, like the Hollywood professionals use.
Oh, I love the Fun Shop.
Igor, you can even rent a fog machine and haunt your own house.
Oh, yes, master.
Great prices on black lights, strobe lights, scary music, and more. Come have fun at the Fun Shop.
The Fun Shop in Southdale, Burnsville Center, Norwood, Mall of America, and our newest location in Maplewood, or shop online at funshop.com.
Winter in Minnesota sneaks up on you before you know it. If you're into motorsports, you know you've got to buy before the snow flops. Now's the time to get hot deals on snowmobiles and ATVs at Maverick Motorsports in White Bear Lake. Maverick has the best selection of motorcycles, ATVs, and snowmobiles from names like Polaris, Yamaha, Ski-Doo, and Articat. Whether you're buying or selling, you don't have to waste your weekends on want ads. Maverick Motorsports will sell your vehicle for just $150, and you don't have to pay until it sells or when you retrieve it. Thinking of selling your motorcycle? Don't put it in your shed for another Award winner. Bring it to Maverick Motorsports and let them do the work for you. It costs less per week than any newspaper ad, and there's no waiting for appointments that don't show up. Maverick Motorsports is the selection of a dealer, but the price is a private party sale. For more information, go online to maverickmotorsports.com or call 651-766-5229. Again, that's 651-766-5229. Maverick Motorsports is conveniently located just off Highway 694 and Highway 61 in White Bear Lake.
The next time you're sitting at work cruising the internet hoping your supervisor doesn't sneak up behind you,
Johnson!
Ask yourself,
well, if this job's so great, why am I sitting here wasting my time?
Then do this. Cruise over to zone105.com and find yourself a better job on our job search listing. Job search is a listing of the best jobs in the area from leading companies. You'll find everything from IT careers to third shift opportunities. Better hours, better pay, better company. It's all there at zone105.com. Once you find the site, look for job search and click. You're there. Job search is a partnership of this station and Ludlow Advertising. Oh, and just a little tip. Face your monitor away from the hallway.
This is Adam Carolla. And
this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105.
Appreciate,
yes.
This is not
apparent.
You can't apply to the human, though.
It only applies
on automobiles.
That's right. All right, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Explaining to Drew about cars during the break. We will hop back on the phones and see if we can get to a call. Josh?
Hey, what's up?
You're 14.
Yeah, I got high blood pressure because I don't know why they just started at the beginning of the football season. And I was supposed to get a stress test, but they had to put me on blood pressure medication because it was, like, too high when I went to my stress test.
Yeah.
So I got on blood pressure pills, like, Friday.
Wow.
And I got drunk on Saturday. I didn't, like, mean to. And I have another stress test on Wednesday, which will tell me if I can play the rest of the season. I'm wondering if it's going to mess me up.
Drinking will, both consuming alcohol and coming off alcohol will raise blood pressure.
Yeah.
But you're young.
Doesn't alcohol thin your blood a little bit?
Yeah, but it raises blood pressure. It drives it up while you're using it. Drives it up with the detox. But yeah, it's one exposure. It's probably not going to make a big difference.
And that was a couple days ago,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's probably going to make a big deal here.
Well, the thing is, though, like, I hadn't been exhibiting any symptoms, really.
There's no such thing as symptoms from high blood pressure.
Well, like, you know, the headache and...
That almost never happens.
Well, but I got it today. I was just like, I wasn't supposed to be doing any activities.
It's probably
but...
the blood pressure medicine.
Oh, you
more
think
than
that's
anything.
What it is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would
and by the way, alcohol withdrawal. I mean, having a hangover, it's headache.
Why would a 14-year-old have high blood pressure?
Well, you worry about something called congenital adrenal hyperplasia, tumors of the adrenal gland, adrenal artery stenosis. They're what are called secondary causes of hypertension.
It's not a great thing, is it?
It's not the usual thing. You need to be able to explain it.
All right.
Very unusual.
All right. I'm going to get to that. All right. David?
By the way, was he 14 or 27?
Think about it.
He was four. Oh, what he sounded like?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was drinking, playing ball.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Not a virgin.
1 second. Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, what up?
Were you a virgin? Are you a virgin?
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of?
Like, never put it in, but done stuff.
Okay. All right. You ever gotten a BJ?
Yeah.
That'll do. You show me a 14-year-old who's had a mouth on his penis other than one of his buddies from camp, and I'm going to show you a guy who answers, yeah, Doc put me on some meds, but went out drinking. So it's a 14. Yeah. I asked Doc to shoot me up a little cortisone when I make the second half of the game, you know.
Demerol.
Yeah, so shoot me up a little Demerol. He told me I had to get off the juice to tell him to finish my cycle. It was very competitive at B football, ninth grade football.
David?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're 13, what's your honor?
There's this girl I liked in sixth grade.
David, when just out of curiosity, when did you turn 14?
2005.
When?
February.
In 4 months. Okay, now, our last caller was 14.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yep. These are the poor guys he has to compete with on the football team. Oh, Jesus. Hi, David. That's why you got to hold your kid back, Greg. Hold on a second. True. Hold your kid. Hold your boys.
Did.
Hold them boys.
Did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Hold them back, too. I want your sons to be 21 when they're their junior year of high school. Kicking ass.
It'd be cool.
Oh, yeah. A driver's license, smoking cigarettes and laughing at the teacher. Hi, David. So you like a girl?
Yeah, her name's... Oh, yeah, I can't say her name.
Right.
But I've liked her since, like, 6th or 7th grade, and I've liked, you know, like, Valentine's has given her chocolates and stuff, and she's just never, like, going for me, you know? I've been, like, as nice as I could.
Yeah, you gotta give another 3 years.
Give another 3 years?
Yeah. Not, look at it this way. You know this Christmas coming up?
Yeah.
Not this one, and not the next one, but the one after that.
Being nice doesn't determine whether a girl's going to like you.
Oh, no, it doesn't. No, no, no.
Adam still cries out in pain when he thinks about that fact.
But I was just at a dance a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there's this girl. I thought she was like a 6-year-old. She's like showing me. And she said that I was like the hottest thing on the floor. And
said you were the hottest thing on the floor?
Yeah.
Was anyone else on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay. And were you dancing? Did she like the way you danced?
Because I'm not much of a dancer, but I found out she was an 8th grader, and I'm going to probably go out to her, but I can't, like, find her.
You can't find her? That's why I always put a homing beacon on them, like you know, migrating bison.
Yeah.
Attach to their earlobe, and I can find them. So, hey, she go to your school?
Yeah.
Yeah. You should be able to find her, right?
The thing is, I go to Booth Viget. It's, like, a huge school.
You go to Booth Viget?
Yeah.
Booth Viget?
What's it called?
Booth Viget.
Booth Viget.
Yeah.
All right, it's the, John Wick, the guy shot Lincoln. And then who else?
What did you say?
Okay. And there's a lot of kids in the school?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still should be able to find her. She said you were the hottest thing on the dance floor.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm looking for her.
All right, David, you'll be fine.
But slow down.
Here's the deal, David. Here's the deal with the ladies.
Yeah.
Okay. Make your attempt at a woman, ask her out, what have you. And then if she doesn't like you, then you move on to the next one.
They will let you know if they're interested. There's no doubt about it. And continuing to work at it will not improve the situation.
I'm going to say something amazingly profound right now.
I'm ready.
Everyone listen up, and I hope you're all sitting down. Women do not let you know when they're not interested. They let you know when they're interested.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everyone absorb that for a second, especially girls that are 14, 15 years old. They will not tell you to leave them alone. They will not tell you to stop talking to them. They will not tell you to stop walking them to the locker. They will not tell you any of that stuff. They will give you a string of reasons why you two cannot go out. And each one will be legitimate, or it will sound legitimate. So again, they will not give you reasons why you can't go out, but they will let you know if they're interested. Believe me, have faith, gents. They always let my friend Chris know when they were interested, and man, did they ever. And it was never, there was never a shadow of a doubt. Tanya?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Okay, here's my question. My friend had her baby last Friday, and for 6 months, she didn't show, but she was still, you know, having her period.
Hmm.
She found out 3 months ago that she was pregnant when she was sick and having pains in her side.
Mm-hmm.
And
probably she wasn't having her period. She was just having some bleeding.
Oh, really?
And
is that normal? Because she said it was her period.
No, she was just having some bleeding during the pregnancy, which does happen. And it's a significant issue that needs to be dealt with. But obviously she made it through fine.
So she had her kid?
Yeah, she had her kid. And, you know, the baby doesn't show any signs of birth defects or anything.
So what's your question?
That was my question, if that was normal.
It's not normal, but it happens.
You can have your period while you're pregnant.
You can bleed while
you're
pregnant.
You can bleed.
Yeah.
It would not be, can you not have your period by definition because you're pregnant?
Right.
So it's a mathematical impossibility once you're pregnant.
Nothing's impossible in biological systems. There may be something like something cycles, perhaps, but your uterus is filled up with a big baby.
Right.
There's no way for the uterine lining to come off, which is what the period is. However, the placenta can sometimes get over the cervical os, and that leaks blood.
Listen, never count out that wily placenta.
Yeah. Right.
It will find a way. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be back after this.
Hello. This is your radio.
This is Adam Parola.
And this is Dr. Drew. Stay tuned for more Love Line on the Zone 105.
If you are driven to be the best and want to be paid the best, ABC Radio Sales wants to talk with you about your future now. ABC Radio's business is helping local businesses achieve and exceed their goals, and our sales department has an amazing track record. If you are a commissioned salesperson seeking an opportunity to make an unlimited income with a company recognized for excellence and success, your time is now. Only qualified candidates will be interviewed. If you are interested in joining the ABC Radio Sales team, please see this station's website for more information. ABC Radio is an equal opportunity employer.
Hey teens, what are you doing this Friday? No plans? Well, if you're looking for the coolest place to see and be seen, you better get yourself over to Waterworks Beach Club in Centerville. Every Friday night, the hottest teens in the Twin Cities are hanging at Waterworks. I mean, we're talking wall-to-wall 15 to 20-year-olds just like you.
And this isn't some lame teen party chaperoned by some dork who thinks he knows what your scene is all about.
The doors open at 7, and it goes extreme from there. Join thousands of other teens every Friday night at Waterworks Beach Club, conveniently located on Main Street in Centerville, and party with one of the coolest DJs in town with free parking and a safe environment. This is the bash you'd throw if you had access to the loudest, wildest venue in town. And now you do. Waterworks Beach Club. They don't serve alcohol on Friday nights and are open to midnight to make it a teen-only night every Friday night. Now what more could you possibly ask for? Call 651-429-3033 for directions. That's Waterworks in Centerville. 651-429-3033.
When you buy a stereo system, each component has to be top quality to achieve a great sound. Then, if the price is right, you get great value. I'm Doug Spence, and at Spence Diamonds, the same concept holds true. You get great value because we control the quality during every step in the making of your engagement ring or anniversary diamond. We start by directly importing rough diamonds. Then Spence Diamonds Cutting Division goes to work, shaping and polishing your diamond to create the fire and brilliance which is the trademark of the world's most precious gemstone. At Spence Diamonds, your ring setting is also made in-house by our talented team of craftsmen. This hands-on approach means exceptional quality and better value. Check out our prices at SpenceDiamonds.com, then visit our stores in Roseville or Bloomington for Minnesota's best diamond value.
Minnesota's leading bridal diamond destination, Spence Diamonds, in Roseville on County B2 near Snelling, right across from Rosedale Center, and in Bloomington on Lindale, just south of the 494. Shop weeknights till 8, weekends till 5.
Time up for the weekday planner. Come on down for Tuesdays at Tui. Every Tuesday, join Shelly Miller and Tui for 2-for-1 drink specials. Register to win great prizes, including tickets to the only Alive and Drive indoor go-kart racing track in the Midwest, Pro Kart Indoors. Tui's located 2 miles west of Highway 35W on Highway 13. Call 612-894-7022 for more details. Go local in Acapulco with Bianchi Rossi Tours for the ultimate spring break vacation. Call Bianchi Rossi Tours at 1-800-875-4525. McDonald's has 2 tasty, new, and improved chicken sandwiches. Come in and try a crispy chicken sandwich or a chicken and grill sandwich today. McDonald's, they love to see you smile. Haskell's huge fall sale is going on now. Hundreds and hundreds of fine wines on sale at half price. Haskell's, downtown Minneapolis, Minnetonka, Bloomington, Excelsior, St. Paul, and Woodbury. That's the Weekly Planner. Listen for updates.
Zone 105, with 20 years of alternative classics, all on one station. Plus, Zone 105 kicks off your workday with 105 minutes of commercial-free zone music at 9 a.m. just after Brian Oak and Mary Lucia. Then, join Zone 105 for the flashback lunch at noon and the flashbacks at 5 for your ride home. 20 years of alternative classics. Zone 105.
This is Adam Carolla.
And this is Dr. Drew.
And you're listening to Loveline on the Zone 105. Yep. All right. There you go. Hey, we have the gold medal volleyball team and the beach volleyball team. Yeah, the two guys, right? The two guys whose name I can't remember,
that's
but
great.
They're big and tall and good looking. Eric and Blaine. Boy, they're good looking, those guys. I wouldn't care which one of them I'd look.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we'll see tomorrow night. I may spend the entire show. And put a pillow underneath the console. I'm going to do the show from under the desk tomorrow night, all right?
My hand's excited. Look at her.
Really? Really? Oh. I don't know. Look at your brillo head.
How dare you?
Not from this position, anyway.
It was like, really?
She was excited. Like, yeah?
Okay.
If these guys get off?
Oh, sure. We're going to take ourselves a extended 22-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I'm going to say something amazingly profound right now. Blah, 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 blah.
This has been Love Line. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Love Line is Ann Wilkins Engel. Love Line is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.
If your equipment isn't properly set up,
KZNR Lakeville, KZNT Cambridge, KZNZ Eden Prairie, Alternative Classics, Zone 105.